From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8. From me is thy fruit found. Our fruit is found from our God as to union. The fruit of the branch is directly traceable to the root. Sever the connection, the branch dies, and no fruit is produced. By virtue of our union with Christ, we bring forth fruit. Every bunch of grapes have been first in the root. It has passed through the stem, flowed through the sap vessels, and fashioned itself externally into fruit, but it was first in the root. So also every good work was first in Christ, and then is brought forth in us. O Christian, prize this precious union to Christ, for it must be the source of all the fruitfulness which thou canst hope to know. If thou wert not joined to Jesus Christ, thou wouldst be a barren bough indeed. Our fruit comes from God as to spiritual providence. When the dewdrops fall from heaven, when the cloud looks down from on high and is about to distill its liquid treasure, when the bright sun swells the berries of the cluster, each heavenly boon may whisper to the tree and say, "From me is thy fruit found." The fruit owes much to the root. That is essential to fruitfulness. But it owes very much also to external influences. How much we owe to God's grace providence, in which He provides us constantly with quickening, teaching, consolation, strength, or whatever else we want. To this we owe our all of usefulness or virtue. Our fruit comes from God as to wise husbandry. The gardener's sharp-edged knife promotes the fruitfulness of the tree by thinning the clusters and by cutting off superfluous shoots. So it is, Christian, with that pruning which the Lord gives to thee. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Since our God is the author of our spiritual graces, let us give to Him all the glory of our salvation.
Oh,
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues the third message in a series based on Psalm 138. The text is the closing phrase of verse 2, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." Dr. Cairns has set forth several possible applications of the expression, "thy word." It may refer to the Bible itself. God has placed the witness of himself even in the creation, so that no man has an excuse not to know God. Yet there is a much more explicit revelation which God has provided for man, the Holy Scriptures. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, the Bible is God's most excellent way of revealing himself through the investigation, the exposition, and the application of its precepts. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
God's Word in Scripture may refer to His eternal Son. the divine word. It may refer to his communication in speech to man, or as it is written down in Scripture. It may refer particularly to his promise, and more particularly even to the promise of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. As I understand it, the doctrine of this text is that in revealing himself to us, the Lord has magnified his word to the premier position. He has magnified his word above every other way of making himself known unto men. Now, every part of God's creation is a witness to its maker. But now the psalmist is speaking of something much more direct, where God is speaking not mediated through creation, but directly to men, straight from his mouth to theirs. That's what we have in the Holy Scriptures. That's the doctrine of the text. There's a wonderful text at the beginning of the 75th Psalm, where the psalmist says, "That thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." So when we see the workings of God, it is a declaration not only that there is a God, not only that he's a God of power and a God of wisdom, but that he is the only God, and furthermore, that he is near. It is clear, says the psalmist, by anything that God does, and that certainly takes in the whole creation, it is clear, says the psalmist, that God intends every creature to understand that God is not some remote deity, but he is present in his creation. That is the testimony of his works. Now you will see, and I'm not going to pursue this morning, but you will see why Paul says men are without excuse. All around them there is the witness of the Creator. All around them there is a creation that is constantly speaking to them of the being and the wisdom and the power and the presence of God. And then they look within them, and there is an even more intimate and immediate witness, and it's saying the same thing, only with much greater power and persistence. There is the witness that God is a God of wisdom, a God of power, and a God who is present, a God who is near. That's the witness of all God's works. But you will realize that if we are ever to be lifted to the level of certainty, if we are ever to be lifted to the realm where we can know God in any intimate or personal or saving way, there must be a superior revelation to this. And that's why the psalmist says the Lord has magnified his word above all these. You see, the Lord, and this is a big statement of theological truth, I'm not going to take time really to expound it, but the Lord never intended there to be a natural theology based on natural revelation apart from his spoken word. That is the error into which too many so-called Christian apologists have dropped. There's been a big debate in the Greenville News recently. Well, not much of a debate, because the input has been puerile at best and vitriolic at worst, about intelligent design. I'm not getting into that. I can see why the crowd of evolutionists are afraid of it, because they think it might be a crack in the wall of their dam that's been holding back that great deluge that will sweep them away. They're afraid of that. But I have a genuine concern about Christians who think that this is the answer to all their prayers, and this is how to deal with evolution, and how to deal with unbelieving science or scientists. For it's a good thing to keep in mind what Martin Lloyd-Jones says, science doesn't prove anything. Science doesn't say anything. There's no such thing as science saying this or science saying that. You have scientists saying this, scientists saying that. And they're manipulating and misrepresenting the facts as they are if they say anything contrary to the Word of God. So let's understand that. But so many Christians think that this is their answer to science and unbelieving scientists. And they're developing a natural theology. Let's start without God. Let's start without God's revelation. Now, I want to put it to you, and I'm getting back to what are called presuppositional apologetics. I'm getting back to absolute truth here. If you start off presupposing a lie, you are never going to arrive at the truth. You either presuppose God is, or you presuppose God isn't. And if you start off with the lie, and you say, I can stand above the reality of divine truth, God says I am, but I'm going to start my investigations from what I think is a level playing field. I'll not assume anything. You are assuming something. You're assuming God is not. You're assuming God is not what He says He is. You're assuming, therefore, God is a liar. And I want to tell you, the apologetics that are based upon a lie will never lead to anything else but a lie. Remember Van Til's famous words I've quoted again and again? We are accused, if you start with God, you're arguing in a circle. Hallelujah, I'm arguing in a circle. Van Til rightly said, the only alternative to arguing in a circle is to argue in a vicious circle. And he was right. God never intended a natural theology and a natural revelation to be understood apart from the spoken word, even in the Garden of Eden, when he surrounded Adam with that perfect environment, and everything witnessed to Adam and everything within him witnessed. Adam couldn't look at anything without immediately looking at it in its relation to God. He couldn't consider anything without hearing its voice as to the things of God. He couldn't understand himself apart from God. And yet the Lord did not leave him without a specific spoken word, a positive revelation, a special revelation of God's speech. Because even in Eden, God exalted His Word above every other means of making Himself known. When God leaves man to natural revelation alone, it is always in judgment. His Word, now completed, inscripturated in the Bible, is His full and His final revelation of Himself and of His will to man. Our Shorter Catechism rightly asks the question, what rule hath God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The only rule that God has given us to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him is what? What is it? It's His Word. It's Scripture. But what do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. That's why throughout the Scriptures we have such things as the Lord's statement through Hosea in chapter 8, 12, I have written unto him the great things of my law. The words of Christ in John 5, search the Scriptures. The repeated injunction, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. You see, this is God's full and final revelation from God. All that you need to know about God is taught in that book. All that you need to know about Jesus Christ is taught in that book. All that you need to know about yourself is taught in that book. All that you need to know about the future of this world is taught in that book. All that you need to know about sin and salvation is taught in this book. All that you need for eternity, all the truth you will ever need throughout eternity, is the truth that God has revealed in His own inscripturated word. This is His full and His final revelation of God to man. He has magnified it above every other means. That is not to demean the other means of revelation. That is not to say anything against this wonderful statement that the heavens declare the glory of God. They do declare the glory of God. And I don't demean that, nor did the psalmist David when he said, above even all that, the Lord has exalted His word. Above the brightness of the sun in the sky, God has given us the blazing, glorious light of His infallible word. I could give you a list of things, and I will only list them because if I preach these, this will become a series, and I can't afford to have a series within a series. Let me tell you, He has exalted this word because it is more excellent than every other way of revealing Himself. This is the pure and full self-revelation of God to man. All He says to man, He says it here. The pursuit of truth. Let me make this statement very clearly to you. The pursuit of truth about God and His will is nothing more than the faithful investigation, exposition, and application of the Holy Scriptures. That is the totality of man's search for truth. The investigation, the exposition, the application of the Holy Scriptures. Here all the glory of God shines. You'll find this book deals with subjects that are not dealt with anywhere else. You can look at the heavens all day. You can examine the earth all night. You can go into any branch of scientific investigation, even with a heart that's looking for God. And there are things there that you can never discover. They have nothing to say about the way of salvation from sin. They have nothing to say about the doctrine of substitution and atonement. They have nothing to reveal to us about God's way of justifying the ungodly by uniting them to Christ and imputing their sin to Him and His righteousness to them. This is a more excellent revelation. It's also more explicit. Obviously, in Scripture, there are things hard to be understood. But all truth that's necessary to the salvation of the soul is clearly to be understood. It's beyond any difficulty of grasping. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That speaks of clarity, what theologians call the perspicuity of Scripture.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.